Hello, welcome to Morning Manna, September the 5th, 2021. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the blessings that you give us day by day. We're grateful for today also and for all that you will show us. We ask that you would continue to be with us as we grow from day to day and learn more of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today's subject is Christian help work. Christian help work. And of course, we're still in Bible readings for the Home Circle, published in 1889. And this particular subject is rather important because it asks some questions about what God wants us to do. The title again, Christian help work. What was the character of Christ's work among men? Acts 10 and verse 38 says, who went about doing good? That was what he did, doing good. What will his true followers do? He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. That's incredibly important. That's found in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. In ministering to the needy, whom are we really serving? Matthew chapter 25 and verse 40 says, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. The me, of course, there is Christ. How long will there be poor in the world? Matthew 26 and verse 11 says, ye have the poor always with you. What relation do all sustain to God? Proverbs 22 and verse 2 says, the rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. So what is one good evidence of genuine repentance? Daniel 4 and verse 27 says, break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. What is one evidence that one has a knowledge of God? Jeremiah 22 and verse 16 says, he judged the cause of the poor and needy. Then it was well with him. Was not this to know me, saith the Lord? That's, of course, Jeremiah chapter 22 and verse 16. So what classes are subject for Christian help work? James 1 and verse 27 says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Is it our duty always to give what is expected or asked? Acts chapter 3 and verse 6 says, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. That is, of course, Acts chapter 3 and verse 6. And you should also check 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 8. What is sometimes of greater value than even money to discouraged souls? Job 29 and verse 24 says, I smiled on them when they had no confidence. What divine law of retroaction attends giving? Luke chapter 6 and verse 28 says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. That, of course, is Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. And you should also check Psalm 18 and verse 25. And Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. So what is promised those who give to the poor? Proverbs 19 and verse 17 says, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath giveth will he pay him again? That's Proverbs 19 and verse 17. And of course, in Proverbs 28 and verse 27, it says, he that giveth unto the poor shall not lack. Isn't that beautiful? How did Job learn of the needs of the poor? Job 29 and verse 16 says, the cause of him that I knew not, I searched out. So in order for him to know it, he searched after it. What parable illustrates practical Christian help work? Luke 10 verses 30 to 37 says, the parable of the Good Samaritan. That is that parable that I'm sure you're acquainted with. And then, when Christ set out the 70, what did he tell them to do in the cities whither they went? Notice what verse 9 says, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. So what did Christ do when he sent out the 70 and tell them to go to the cities? The first task was to heal the sick and to let them know that God was indeed with them. Amidst poverty, suffering, and distress, what kind of workers does God wish to see? Notice, this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses. They are for prey, and none delivereth, for a spoil, and none saith, restore. Who among you will give ear to this? And I'm sure that that's a familiar text that you've heard before. And I was reading from Isaiah chapter 42, verses 22 and 23. Let me read it again for you. But this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey, and nothing delivereth, for a spoil, and none saith, restore. Who among you will give ear to this? So what is our duty towards the outcast and the wandering? Isaiah 16 verses 3 and 4 says, hide the outcasts. Beware not him that wandereth. Betray not him that wandereth. Let mine outcasts dwell with thee. So our work with the outcast is to draw them close, is to bring them in, is to set them up so that they might find a place to live. What incentive have Christians for doing prison work? Matthew 25 and verse 36 says, I was in prison, and ye came unto me. What a powerful thought. Who notes the groans of the prisoner? Psalm 102 verses 19 and 20 says, from heaven did the Lord behold the earth to hear the groaning of the prisoner. That is, of course, Psalm 102 verses 19 and 20. What work constitutes the fast most acceptable to God? Notice that in Isaiah chapter 58, verses 6 and 7, it says this, is not this the fast that I have ordained? To untie the knots of wickedness, to relax the burdens of the yoke, and rescue those who are oppressed by violence, and that ye withdraw every yoke? Is it not to part thy bread from the famished, and to bring the vagrant poor into thy house, when thou seest the naked, that thou clothe him? That is Isaiah 58, verses 6 and 7. So what promises are made to those who thus minister to the wants and distresses of others? This is an important question. Let me ask it again. What wants, what promises are made to those who are thus ministered to the wants and distresses of others? In verse 10 and 11 of Isaiah 58, it says this, if thou draw thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. and the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. This is what God is calling us to do. You know, so often we do not recognize the need of our need to follow the example of Christ in his life on this earth. This is what he did. He took care of those who had nothing. He fed those who were hungry. He did for others that which they could not do for themselves. His entire life was based upon service. And this is what he calls us to do. If we are going to be his children, then we must act like him. Then our characters must be a reflection of his. Then our treatment of those who have nothing must reflect the treatment that he gave to those who had nothing. Notice he did not preach first and heal last. He healed first and preached second. His entire attitude was one of love. And the attitude of love was so filling and so satisfying that immediately people were drawn to him. Many gave their lives to him. And they were looking for someone who cared. And even though they were happy to receive food and receive healing, it was care that was primary in their desire. And so when he came, there was an attitude in his facial expression. There was an entire characteristic in the way that he walked, in the way that he talked. He always, always showed the love that was so necessary to be shown. Never once did he ever turn aside from those who were in need. The poor were always with him, and they always trusted in him. God has always been a God of love, a God of compassion. And this is what you and I need to understand today. If we are going to reach out, if we're going to draw men to him, if we're going to draw men to us, then first we must show the love and the care that we need to share. People who are in need, first and foremost, need to be cared for. Yes, they're hungry. Yes, they are homeless, but their primary need is one of care. Quite often we do not understand that. We attempt to satisfy their needs by giving them food or giving them shelter without giving them the care that they want, that the care that they need more than anything else in the world. But this is what God wants us to learn how to do, to show the kind of love that is necessary, so important, so that they are drawn not just to us, but drawn to God himself. Today, you and I are called to do this. And I'm sure that there's some of us today who are very, very concerned about the needs of others. And we actually are involved in the kind of helpful activity that is necessary. But quite often we do not show the kind of caring that is necessary. Once we have given them the food or given them the clothing, we tend to walk away from them. Listen to this quote that is found in Testimonies Volume 1, Chapter 58. And the title of the chapter is Duty to the Poor. Inquiries are often made in regard to our duty to the poor who embrace the third message. And we ourselves have long been anxious to know how to manage with discretion the cases of poor families who embrace the Sabbath. But while at Roosevelt, New York, August the 3rd, 1861, I was shown some things in regard to the poor. God does not require our brethren to take charge of every poor family that should embrace this message. If they should do this, the ministers might cease to enter new fields, for the funds would be exhausted. Many are poor from their work and their lack of accessibility. They know not how to use their means aright. If they should be helped, it might hurt them sometimes. Some will always be poor. But if we will show them how also to improve their conditions, then they would be loved of God. There are those, however, who are in desperate need always, and we must take care of their needs. We must not abandon them and say, it's your fault that you're poor. We must do that which is necessary to be done in our lives. The Lord's people are to be as true as steel to principle. He has pointed out to the work devolving on every church member. He declares that the church members are faithfully to do their duty to those within their own borders. We must not abandon those who are poor, either in the world or in the church. Our hearts must be filled, as I said before, with the kind of caring, with the kind of attitude of embracing that is so necessary. God has not neglected us. We might be rich in things and in property and in money, but poor in caring and love and attitude. Satan wants us to be like that. He wants us to make judgments about people because of their wealth or their lack of wealth. He does not want us to care, does not want us to do that which is necessary to be done. Our responsibility is clear. The example that God has set is the example that we must follow. The example of those who are in need must be an opportunity for us to reach out and draw these individuals to Christ. Today, God is asking you to do that for Him, to follow His example, to do the things that are easily done, that is showing care and concern, and it might surprise you how people will respond just to the care, just to the concern. They might even forget the level of poverty at which they exist, simply because they have found a friend, someone who actually cares, someone who is not wealthy enough to give them all that they need, just to share what they have with them. That in itself is a tremendous example of what God wants us to do. So today, God is asking you to show that kind of concern to those who are around you, to evaluate those who are in need. And they may not necessarily be always in need, just in need sometimes. The kind of poverty also that we need to evaluate is the insecurity of life, the loneliness and the frustration of circumstances. Quite often people have sufficient to take care of their families, sufficient to take care of their homes, but they're lacking in the caring and the satisfaction and the peace that comes when they are around circumstances and individuals who actually care for them. God is calling you to care for, to show the love that is necessary to be shown, so that those people might recognize that you do care. Call them, talk with them, and even if you yourself are poor, share what you have with them, so that they might feel the love, they might understand the Christ-likeness, they might see that which is so important to be felt in life, that somebody actually does care. God is calling us today to take a look at the ministry that He wants us to engage in. Too often we think of ministry only as preaching the gospel or giving a Bible study. But today we've been looking at Christian help, the kind of help that is so necessary, the kind of reassurance that is absolutely indicative of who Christ is. Sometimes we will not even have to describe who Christ is, but just in our attitudes, just in our caring, people will know that if we are caring like that, then we must be serving a God who cares also, and they will not only be drawn to us, but they will be drawn to Him. So today God is calling you He's giving you an opportunity to do that which you perhaps have not done in a long time. Why not turn your heart over to Him today and allow Him to be the master that gives you the lesson so that you might follow? We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the blessings that you give and for the examples that you set. It is so necessary for us to see exactly what you want us to be and what you want us to do. And so today we give ourselves to you again, asking that you would give us the strength that is necessary so that we might walk according to your will and be obedient to your cause and care for those who have not. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been Morning Manna, September the 5th, 2021.